You know, at this point in our study through the book of Hebrews, we may be asking why there is so much emphasis on Christ as high priest. Now, we must remember that the audience for the letter that this is written to is largely comprised of people who have accepted Christ's promise as Savior, but have been brought up in Judaism, the religion of the Hebrews. And so they are people who have accepted Christ as their promised Savior based on the promises of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, Walter Kaiser gives us a good idea of the mindset of this audience as the author of Hebrews writes to them. He says, it would appear that some were having second thoughts about their conversion to Christ. Could it be that they had really missed God's plan and in following Christ had abandoned their own roots as found in Abraham, Moses, and David? So there was some doubts going on. And there were those Judaizers, those who were vehemently against Christ, who were brought up in the Jewish faith, that were saying to these Jews who had accepted Christ that, no, Jesus is not the promised Messiah. You need to come back to Judaism and follow the law and follow the things of our tradition. And so the author of Hebrews is trying to convince this audience that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, that he is the fulfillment of all the promises that were made about the coming Messiah, and that he is the true one and only high priest that they can rest in and rely on for God's promise plan. This is why the book of Hebrews uses the word promise more than any other book in the New Testament. It is used a total of 14 times. It also explains why the author frequently uses an exegetical form of argument referred to as midoth. Now, in midoth, the biblical interpreter shows how God's plan is better than what was presently thought. So Jesus used midoth to show the generosity of the Father when he stated in Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask? So you see, Jesus here was trying to make them see that the Father was better, more generous than they had even imagined, that they had even thought of previously. And so the author of Hebrews here is trying to make everyone understand that Jesus is better than anything they could ever have thought of. That Jesus is better as a high priest than they could ever have imagined Aaron or Moses or any other priest to be. That he is better than all that they could ever imagine. That he's better than anything, any religious concept that they had ever had. And so if you were to think of a theme for the whole book of Hebrews, it would probably say something like, Jesus is better than. Jesus is better than. He is better than anything. And this argument, this midoth that they used back in those days, was a way of helping people understand the truths about God. And so this form of argument is demonstrated by the many times the author uses the word better. The word better is used 13 times to show that God's promised plan through Jesus Christ is better than any other religious concept. Now, although this argument was made in a Hebrew context, it certainly has strong application for all Christians. The concept of Christ as our mediator or priest is an important aspect of our relationship with God that is clearly taught in other places in the New Testament. Look at Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. And he says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." So, right here, we see God's promised plan revealed as Paul states that it is God's desire that all men be saved and know that Jesus Christ is their one mediator or priest. Now, the word here, also I want us to understand that the book of Hebrews uses the word promise more than any other. It uses it 14 times. So this promise of better through Jesus Christ is what I want us to see. Here we see God's promised plan revealed as Paul states that it is God's desire that all men be saved and know that Jesus Christ is their one mediator or priest. So it is important to have a firm grasp of what it means for the Christian to have Jesus as their high priest. And to know that without Christ as our high priest, we cannot meet God's desire that we be saved. Understand that. That's how important this concept of Jesus being our high priest is. That it is linked with God's desire for us to be saved. It is an important aspect of our relationship with Jesus Christ, of our saving relationship with God, our Savior. So let's take a look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 5 and see why trusting in Jesus as our high priest is better for us than anything. It's better for us than anything. So as we turn back to Hebrews, I want to call our attention to chapter 5, verse 1 again. It says, "For every high priest taken among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God." Now look down at verse 4. It says, "And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest. But it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" Now, trusting Jesus as our high priest is better than anything because he is appointed by God to be a permanent high priest. He is appointed by God to be our permanent high priest. So, we are told that Jesus did not call himself. Jesus did not ask for this specifically for himself. God the Father appointed him and called him to this position of mediator slash priest. Okay? That word mediator in the Bible in 1 Timothy and priest are the same word. Okay, so just understand that. When you talk about Jesus being your priest, you're talking about him being your mediator between you and God. And that's what we need for Jesus to be. We need him to be our mediator between us and God. So like Aaron, Jesus was called by God. However, that is where the similarities end. We are told that Jesus is a better high priest for a couple of very important reasons. One is found in verse 5. It says, "You are my son. You are my son. Today I have begotten you." So we're told in this passage that Jesus is the Son of God. Now the author quotes Psalm 2:7 here to show the distinct calling of Jesus as high priest, based on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, this passage was commonly recognized by the Hebrews as a promise of the coming Messiah. So that's why the author is using this particular passage. He understands that when the audience reads this, they're going to link this with God's only begotten Son, the promised Messiah, a special person, because he is God and comes from God, to be the ultimate high priest. So as the audience is reading this, they are drawn to the fact that this is a promise given by the Old Testament scriptures. And it definitely refers to the Messiah. So Jesus fulfills this promise because he is the only begotten of God. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. And he came to this earth because the Lord had appointed him. And one of those appointed positions that God gave to Jesus was that of high priest. And so because Jesus is God's only begotten Son, he is appointed to this position as high priest. But it doesn't end there. His priesthood will last forever. That's a big difference from the priests of times past. You see, all of them had an end when they passed away. But Jesus Christ, who is eternal, will never pass away, and his position as high priest will never pass away. And the author makes it clear when he quotes Psalm 110, verse 4, in verse 6, to show this unique characteristic about Christ's priesthood. It says, "You are a priest forever after the order, according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, we don't know much about Melchizedek. Most of what we know is found in Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek was a priest and a king. He's the only one recorded in the scriptures that was actually both a priest and a king, kind of like Jesus is both a priest and a king. And what we do know is that Melchizedek was someone that Abraham met. And when Melchizedek met Abraham, he blessed Abraham. And then Abraham offered tithes and offerings to Melchizedek, the priest. Other than that, we don't know much about him. But what I do understand from this is that the point is that Jesus' priesthood precedes that of other priests in Israel, and will also continue forever. You see, the idea that the author is trying to get across is the eternality of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And so it precedes anything in the Old Testament law. It precedes that of Moses and Aaron. And it will continue on way past that. As a matter of fact, it's eternal. So Who do you want? Who's better than Jesus as a high priest? Than the one who is appointed by God and has been given the position of high priest by God forever? Well, there is no one else. He is better than anything else. He is better than anything else, and he is worthy of our trust as high priest because of who he is and the position that he holds permanently. And so I hope we'll remember that. And I hope that will be something that we think of when we think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only God's Son could be entrusted with an eternal priesthood. Therefore, he is our best choice to be our mediator between us and God. So let's trust Jesus as our high priest. Secondly, I want to call our attention to verse 2. It says, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Look at verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Secondly, trusting Jesus as our high priest is better than anything because nobody loves you more. Nobody loves you more. The next argument the author gives for trusting Christ as high priest is, to me, the most important. Jesus' compassion for us and the way he deals with us is influenced by his own experience as a man. He suffered greatly. Jesus suffered greatly. He experienced the same vulnerabilities as we do in our flesh because he was flesh and blood. References made to our Lord's suffering as he prayed and agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's go there for a minute. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I want us to see just how compassionate our Lord and Savior is. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is about to face a horrific death. And the reason he is agonizing, the reasons he's agonizing, may not be what we think. It may not be the torturous death that he was agonizing about, but something greater. Look at verse 22, starting in verse 41. Verse 41, it says, and he, Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can you imagine the stress and agony that Jesus Christ is going through right now? As he faces the prospect of his sacrifice on the cross, and what it means, he is under great anguish and in so much stress that he is actually sweating drops of blood. I want you to understand that I don't think it was because of the horrific way he was going to be killed that he was under this kind of stress. I think the prospect of taking on the sins of the whole world to a holy God was tremendously stressful and hurtful to him, that he would have to experience that kind of horror as a holy God. And worse than that, he would have to experience all of that horror without the presence of his Father. I think that is why we see Jesus under so much stress and so much anguish. Yet in spite of all that, in spite of the horrific thing that he was about to face, he endured. He endured that. Why? Why? Because he loved us. Jesus loves you that much. More than any other person, more than anyone else, Jesus loves you more. He loves you so much that he was willing to suffer untold agony for your eternal salvation. As Jesus contemplated taking the sins of the world and the separation from his Father, as he died on the cross, he was filled with agony. Yet because of his great love for you, Jesus endured the great anguish and suffering, all for an opportunity to be your high priest. Think about that for a minute. He did all that for an opportunity to be your high priest. Has anyone else done that for you? To have the opportunity to be your mediator between you and God? Then he's the only one. He's the only one you need to go to. He's the only one you need to cling to. He's the only one you need to trust in for this position. He is better than all the rest. He is better than all. And what kind of high priest do you get when you trust in Jesus? What kind of high priest do you get? One filled with compassion for you. One who we are told in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2, deals with you gently, even though you are ignorant. Even though you have sin in your life that you don't even know about. He is there for you. He is there to give you his compassion and love in a gentle and kind way in spite of your ignorance. Not only that, in spite of you going astray, he is there for you. He loves you so much and wants to be your high priest so much that he is willing to deal with you in a gentle and loving way even in your straying. Jesus demonstrated this when he told us about the prodigal son, didn't he? Where the prodigal had strayed from the father. And yet when he came back, and even during that time when he was away, the father still loved him. And when he came back, he was greeted with open arms of love. That's what we have in the high priest Jesus. We don't just have someone that says, okay, how many sins you commit today? All right, here you go. I'll talk to the Father and he'll forgive you. No, we got way more than that in Jesus Christ as our high priest. We got someone who greets us with love and compassion, who helps us with our ignorance, who tries to enlighten us to our sins, who helps us when we're going astray, who taps us on the shoulder and says, wait a minute, Bill, you better not do that. That's the kind of high priest we have. He did all that so that he does all that for you when you put him as your high priest. Why? Because he loves you and he proved his love for you. Even when we drift, he is compassionate. And so it's something that we need to understand. Nobody loves you more than Jesus, and nobody will be a better high priest to you than he will. He will deal with you compassionately, even in your ignorance and straying. He will guide you by His great love and ensure God's desire that you receive eternal salvation. That God's desire for you to receive eternal salvation is fulfilled. This is why Jesus, trusting Jesus Christ as your high priest, is better than anything. And finally, trusting in Jesus as high priest is better than anything because He provides eternal life. He provides eternal life. Look at verse 1 at the end. It says, that He may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And then go down to verse 3. Because of this, He is required, as for the people, so also Himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. Now that's talking about a regular high priest, but the idea of sacrifice for sins is there again. And then in verse 9 it says, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him and call by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So, trusting in Jesus as high priest is better than anything because He provides eternal life. Now I want you to think about a passage of Scripture. It's in John chapter 12, in verse 27. I'm going to read it to you. John chapter 12 and verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. As Jesus is contemplating this enormous amount of pressure, amount of sacrifice, amount of agony that He would undertake as He went to the cross, He was willing to endure it because of the purpose it would accomplish. You see, Jesus died on the cross, endured all that suffering, was buried, and rose again for a purpose. And that purpose was to supply all who would trust and obey Him with eternal life. That was the purpose. And so with that purpose in mind, Jesus Christ was willing to endure. He was willing to endure this great, great sacrifice. We are told in verse 9 that because of the completed or perfected accomplishments of Jesus, He secured eternal salvation for all who would obey Him. Now, I want you to understand something about that verse of Scripture. Trusting in Jesus is how we receive eternal salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 is very clear on that. It's by faith through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Or by grace through faith, okay, that we are saved. However, a true faith in Jesus Christ is going to produce obedience to Him. Please remember that. Please remember that when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, there will be a willingness to follow and obey His commands. And so it's not wrong for our author to say that salvation is for those who obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's just a natural characteristic of all those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. As a matter of fact, if you don't have this willingness to obey the commands of Christ, I would question whether I had genuine faith in the Lord or not. So it's important that we see this aspect here. But more importantly, I want you to understand that Jesus is better, the best choice for us as high priest, because it is only he who can give you eternal life. So, trusting in Christ is the reason having eternal life and securing eternal life for us is why the author has guided us and encouraged us and admonished us to trust Jesus Christ and him alone as our high priest. So, let's trust Jesus as our high priest because he has been appointed by God as the eternal high priest. Because nobody loves you more than he does and will have compassion on you like no one else. And because he is the only one that can provide you with eternal life.